out the place to Don Juan, it was in the middle of an open, unshaded, flat area, devoid of thick bushes. He laughed uproariously, and then asked me why I had picked that specific spot. I explained that I was seeing a glitter.
"I don't care what you see," he said. "You could be seeing an elephant. How you feel is the important issue."
I didn't feel anything at all. He gave me a mysterious look and said that he wished he could oblige me and sit down to rest with me there, but he was going to sit somewhere else while I tested my choice. I sat down while he looked at me curiously from a distance of 30 or 40 feet away. After a few minutes, he began to laugh loudly. Somehow, his laughter made me nervous. It put me on edge. I felt he was making fun of me, and I got angry. I began to question my motives for being there. There was definitely something wrong in the way my total endeavor with Don Juan was proceeding. I felt that I was just a pawn in his clutches. Suddenly, Don Juan charged at me at full speed and pulled me by the arm, dragging me bodily for 10 or 12 feet. He helped me to stand up and wiped some perspiration from his forehead. I noticed then that he had exerted himself to his limit. He patted me on the back and said that I had picked the wrong place and that he had to rescue me in a real hurry because he saw that the spot where I was sitting was about to take over my entire feelings. I laughed. The image of Don Juan charging at me was very funny. He had actually run like a young man. His feet moved as if he were grabbing the soft reddish dirt of the desert in order to catapult himself over me. I'd seen him laughing at me, and then in a matter of seconds, he was dragging me by the arm. After a while, he urged me to continue looking for a proper place to rest. We kept on walking, but I didn't detect or feel anything at all. Perhaps, if I had been more relaxed, I would have noticed or felt something. I had ceased, however, to be angry with him. Finally, he pointed to some rocks, and we came to a halt.
"Don't feel disappointed," Don Juan said. "It takes a long time to train the eyes properly."
I didn't say anything. I wasn't going to be disappointed about something I didn't understand at all. Yet I had to admit that 3 times already since I'd begun to visit Don Juan, I had become very angry and had been agitated to the point of being nearly ill while sitting on places that he called bad.
"The trick is to feel with your eyes," he said. "Your problem now is that you don't know what to feel. It'll come to you, though, with practice."
"Perhaps you should tell me, Don Juan, what I'm supposed to feel."
"That's impossible."
"Why?"
"No one can tell you what you're supposed to feel. It isn't heat, or light, or glare, or color. It's something else."
"Can't you describe it?"
"No. All I can do is give you the technique. Once you learn to separate the images and see 2 of everything, you must focus your attention in the area between the 2 images. Any change worthy of notice would take place there, in that area."
"What kind of changes are they?"
"That's not important. The feeling that you get is what counts. Every man is different. You saw glitter today, but that didn't mean anything because the feeling was missing. I can't tell you how to feel. You must learn that yourself."
We rested in silence for some time. Don Juan covered his face with his hat and remained motionless, as if he were asleep. I became absorbed in writing my notes, until he made a sudden movement that made me jolt. He sat up abruptly and faced me, frowning.
"You have a knack for hunting," he said. "And that's what you should learn. Hunting. We're not going to talk about plants anymore."
He puffed out his jaw for an instant, then candidly added,
"I don't think we ever have, anyway. Have we?"
And laughed. We spent the rest of the day walking in every direction while he gave me an unbelievably detailed explanation about rattlesnakes. The way they nest, the way they move around, their seasonal habits, their quirks of behavior. Then he proceeded to corroborate each of the points he had made, and finally he caught and killed a large snake, he cut its head off, cleaned its viscera, skinned it, and roasted the meat. His movements had such a grace and skill that it was a sheer pleasure just to be around him. I'd listened to him and watched him, spellbound. My concentration had been so complete that the rest of the world had practically vanished for me. Eating the snake was a hard re-entry into the world of ordinary affairs. I felt nauseated when I began to chew a bite of snake meat. It was an ill-founded queasiness, as the meat was delicious, but my stomach seemed to be rather an independent unit. I could hardly swallow at all. I thought Don Juan would have a heart attack from laughing so hard. Afterwards, we sat down for a leisurely rest in the shade of some rocks. I began to work on my notes, and the quantity of them made me realize that he had given me an astonishing amount of information about rattlesnakes. "Your hunter's spirit has returned to you," Don Juan said suddenly and with a serious face. "Now you're hooked."
"I beg your pardon?"
I wanted him to elaborate on his statement that I was hooked, but he only laughed and repeated it. "How am I hooked?" I insisted.
"Hunters will always hunt," he said. "I am a hunter myself."
"Do you mean you hunt for a living?"
"I hunt in order to live. I can live off the land, anywhere."
He indicated the total surroundings with his head.
"To be a hunter means that one knows a great deal," he went on. "It means that one can see the world in different ways. In order to be a hunter, one must be in perfect balance with everything else. Otherwise, hunting would become a meaningless chore. For instance, today, we took a little snake. I had to apologize to her for cutting her life off so suddenly and so definitely. I did what I did, knowing that my own life will also be cut off someday, in very much the same fashion, suddenly and definitely. So, all in all, we and the snakes are on a par. One of them fed us today."
"I'd never conceived a balance of that kind when I used to hunt," I said.
"That's not true. You didn't just kill animals. You and your family all ate the game."
His statements carried the conviction of someone who had been there. He was, of course, right. There had been times when I had provided the incidental wild meat for my family. After a moment's hesitation, I asked, "How did you know that?"
"There are certain things that I just know," he said. "I can't tell you how, though."
I told him that my aunts and uncles would very seriously call all the birds I would bag pheasants. Don Juan said that he could easily imagine them calling a sparrow a tiny pheasant, and added a comical rendition of how they would chew it. The extraordinary movements of his jaw gave me the feeling that he was actually chewing a whole bird, bones and all.
"I really think that you have a touch for hunting," he said, staring at me. "And we've been barking up the wrong tree. Perhaps you'll be willing to change your way of life in order to become a hunter."
He reminded me that I had found out with just a little exertion on my part that in the world there were good and bad spots for me. He added that I had also found out the specific colors associated with them.
"That means that you have a knack for hunting," he declared. "Not everyone who tried would find their colors and their spots at the same time."
To be a hunter sounded very nice and romantic, but it was an absurdity to me, since I didn't particularly care to hunt.
"You don't have to care to hunt, or to like it," he replied to my complaint. "You have a natural inclination. I think the best hunters never like hunting. They do it well, that's all."
I had the feeling Don Juan was capable of arguing his way out of anything, and yet he maintained that he didn't like to talk at all.
"It's like what I've told you about hunters," he said. "I don't necessarily like to talk. I just have a knack for it, and I do it well, That's all.
I found his mental agility truly funny.
Hunters must be exceptionally tight individuals, he continued. A hunter leaves very little to chance. I've been trying all along to convince you that you must learn to live in a different way. So far, I haven't succeeded. There was nothing you could have grabbed onto. Now, it's different. I've brought back your old hunter's spirit. Perhaps through it, you will change.
I protested that I didn't want to become a hunter. I reminded him that in the beginning I just wanted him to tell me about medicinal plants, but he had made me stray so far away from my original purpose that I couldn't clearly recall anymore whether or not I had really wanted to learn about plants.
Good, he said, really good. If you don't have such a clear picture of what you want, you may become more humble. Let's put it this way. For your purposes, it doesn't really matter whether you learn about plants or about hunting. You've told me that yourself. You're interested in anything that anyone can tell you. True?
I had said that to him in trying to define the scope of anthropology and in order to draft him as my informant. Don Juan chuckled, obviously aware of his control over the situation.
I am a hunter, he said, as if he were reading my thoughts. I leave very little to chance. Perhaps I should explain to you that I learned to be a hunter. I haven't always lived the way I do now. At one point in my life, I had to change. Now, I'm pointing the direction to you. I'm guiding you. I know what I'm talking about. Someone taught me all this. I didn't figure it out for myself.
Do you mean that you had a teacher, Don Juan?
Let's say that someone taught me to hunt the way I want to teach you now, he said, and quickly changed the topic. I think that once upon a time hunting was one of the greatest acts a man could perform, he said. All hunters were powerful men. In fact, a hunter had to be powerful to begin with in order to withstand the rigors of that life.
Suddenly, I became curious. Was he referring to a time perhaps prior to the conquest? I began to probe him. When was the time you were talking about?
Once upon a time.
When? What does once upon a time mean?
It means once upon a time. Or maybe it means now, today. It doesn't matter. At one time, everybody knew that a hunter was the best of men. Now not everyone knows that. But there are a sufficient number of people who do. I know it. Someday you will. See what I mean?
Do the Yaqui Indians feel that way about hunters? That's what I want to know.
Not necessarily.
Do the Pima Indians?
Not all of them, but some.
I named various neighboring groups. I wanted to commit him to a statement that hunting was a shared belief and practice of some specific people, but he avoided answering me directly, so I changed the subject.
Why are you doing all this for me, Don Juan? I asked.
He took off his hat and scratched his temples in feigned bafflement.
I'm having a gesture with you, he said softly. Other people have had a similar gesture with you. Someday you yourself will have the same gesture with others. Let's say that it's my turn. One day I found out that if I wanted to be a hunter worthy of self-respect, I had to change my way of life. I used to whine and complain a great deal. I had good reasons to feel shortchanged. I'm an Indian, and Indians are treated like dogs. There was nothing I could do to remedy that. So all I was left with was my sorrow. But then my good fortune spared me, and someone taught me to hunt. And I realized that the way I lived wasn't worth living. So I changed it.
But I'm happy with my life, Don Juan. Why should I have to change it?
He began to sing a Mexican song very softly, and then hummed the tune. His head bobbed up and down as he followed the beat of the song.